Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
So you're like doing the meter of Captain Kirk with the voice of Spock.
Sure. Sounds good. It's a nice way to pick up from the last show.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, thanks for all the cranks.
For all the cranks.
Figure it's our Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, and our Cranksgiving episode.
And our Cranksgiving episode, yeah. Exactly.
Did you feel important on Saturday?
Yeah.
Because you were important on Saturday.
I was actually mentioning this. I had this like sense of power that one, I didn't deserve, and two, I didn't really want.
Oh, come on. Both of those are patently false. You want to be powerful, and you were.
Yeah, first of all, they sat me, you know, during registration, they sat me next to all the chocolate bars.
Yes.
Which I didn't get one. I should have.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I should have grabbed one.
You had all that free chocolate sitting next to you. You did not reach out and grab one.
I did not abuse the power that was given to me.
Okay.
And that's the thing is, like, people would come up to me since I'm sitting next to it, like, checking people in. They're, like, giving me this look. They don't want to ask, of course, because we live in Portland and nobody is ever direct here.
No one is ever direct about anything.
But they're just like looking and like kind of looking at the chocolates and looking at me and then looking at the chocolates. And then every now and then, you know, we'll make eye contact and a person will go like, so are these free chocolates?
Kind of gesturing with their fingers as you were kind of back and forth, like pointing at the chocolate, pointing at them.
Yeah.
Is this, can I, is yeah. would it be, what, who's in charge of?
And that's the thing. Yeah. It's like. And so, you know, anyone can have this because that's true. Anyone can have this. But then suddenly doing that enough times, I'm suddenly like the chocolate guy.
You became the power broker.
Yeah. The chocolate broker.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not power I want nor deserve. Chocolate is for everybody.
But everyone has to start somewhere. Like you have to get that thing. You have to practice with the chocolate. And then you get another responsibility. It's bigger and even weightier.
Which is what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then they had me writing everybody's scores on the.
That's right.
On the board there.
We should welcome people into the show and say hello.
Oh, hey.
Thanks.
Welcome, everybody.
I didn't notice you there. if you're listening right now, we do indeed appreciate it. Welcome to the. Welcome to Portland. Welcome to Portland in the rain. And, we got a couple of things. We were talking about Cranksgiving now. We're going to kind of flush out our experience with that over the weekend. Century attempts, which I have a story about that from yesterday. And I think that's why my lips are chapped. And then homemade pant ties, generator hub woes, and anything else? Happenings from the life of Aaron. We are guestless today, which is why I'm listening off.
Right.
This is why you should keep listening anyways.
This is why I should like keep a running list of things I've done during the day.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about my move? Should we?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you finished?
Have I finished moving?
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I in your house?
It's on the list.
Have you seen me in the mornings?
I haven't noticed you yet. Okay. So we'll talk about
goal
that.
Achieved.
There we go. Perfect. that's what's coming up. But first, let's just go straight into the beer mongers.
Let's go
to
the beer mongers.
And I can't
we'll see
think,
you later.
Okay, all right.
And we're back.
Hey, that was a good trip to the beer mongers. I just think we need like shoes to like clap on against the wall or something.
Wait, I mean, I shouldn't do that with the soda I'm about to open. This could be a disaster.
But
we're good.
You have their brand new offering, which
is
in fact not beer. Once again, the beer mongers for all your non-beer needs.
For all your beer and a few of your non-beer needs. The interesting thing about the beer mongers is they do have a pretty decent selection of interesting they have a limited selection of non-alcoholic drinks, but that limited selection is pretty interesting.
It's quality, yeah.
Yeah.
So how many shelves would you say? Like each refrigerator case has like 5 shelves, and there are like 10 refrigerator cases there with myriad options.
Yes.
So many beers you could drink. And one of those shelves has non-alcoholics.
Right.
which is the one you go straight
one
to.
One shelf out of the 500.
Yeah. 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 So what did you get?
So here's the thing is like they've got a limited selection and I've gone through them. I'm sure everybody's heard my rotation of drinks.
Right.
Like, oh,
we've been through most of them.
He's got this again or he's got this again.
Lionheart.
Yeah. Exactly. But this time they had something new. Sparkling Organics Sip with 2 P's, S-I-P-P, Mojo Berry, Blackberry Mint, and Lime.
Wait, so is Mojo Berry the name of the drink?
Apparently,
and then Blackberry?
Mint and lime are the flavors.
So there's no such thing as a Mojo Berry, as far as we know.
Not as far as I know.
Okay.
I could Google that right now, but that would take time from entertaining the masses.
Let's live in the mystery and let the people wonder with us. Wonder along with us, won't you? I think we should, yeah.
This is like rock and rye.
Really?
With a little bit of like more tart. To it.
Rock and Rye was, it's another historic soda. You've had that on the show before, right?
It's a Faygo soda, which
is
bottled in Detroit.
Okay.
It's like one of their flagship
sodas. Yeah, it's about proprietary.
It's like a cream soda-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But with rye.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know what the rye is.
There's no rye flavoring to it?
I don't think so. Not that I can tell.
Doesn't taste like bullet whiskey.
Not as far as I know.
So, yeah, we were over at the Beer Mongers tonight. We bumped into Sean, as we often do, because he owns the place, and so he's often there. The thing I love is that when we go to the Beer Mongers on Monday, Sean is there not because he has to be, but because he wants to be.
He's just hanging out, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the place, he built the place with his own 2 bare hands, I assume, and then he just kind of, he spends some time there. He was about to get onto Netflix and watch a movie when we were there. If you'd like to watch a movie with Sean... I don't know if he would be.
I can't imagine.
I can't like offer.
People, hey, so the Sprocket podcast said.
They said I could just like.
You just come over and like leer over your laptop.
Are you watching? Yeah. Are you watching Game of Thrones? Can I join? So, yeah.
Hey, do you know what happens to that guy? Can I tell you?
Spoilers.
Spoilers. That guy's dying.
But really, with Game of Thrones, that's not a spoiler.
Right, right.
I've never seen the show, and I know everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
Yeah. Just like The Walking Dead.
I've watched the first two seasons of Game of Thrones, and it was cool, but I honestly couldn't understand the draw, and maybe I'll give it another chance.
I think it has something to do with the wanton violence and nudity.
Yeah.
People love
their vices. There are people who want violence and nudity in their program.
Yeah. So we were there at the Beer Mongers, and we received this flyer, this one right here.
Nice.
Kimmy Cross. It's an event coming up for Kim Matheson, who is a part of the Beer Mongers. I believe she's on their cyclocross team.
Correct.
Yes. Team the Beer Mongers, right?
Sorry.
Wait, is it team?
I had a burp coming up. I didn't want to do that.
It's okay. I feel like we've been over this before. Is there a definite article for the cyclocross team?
Well, that's the thing, right?
Okay.
They are the Beer Mongers.
Yes.
It's not Beer Mongers.
Right.
And yet. You don't say Team the Beer Mongers.
Well, you could.
But I think one should.
Kind of like going to downtown the Dalles.
Right. So as to downtown the Dalles.
Which I believe is correct. I believe that's how you refer to it.
That's what you have to say.
Yeah. You have to say the whole name.
So as to not mistake it for, I don't know, Dalles, Michigan.
Correct. Correct. Because that exists.
Sure.
Also Dallas, Oregon and the Dalles, Oregon. One letter of difference. Figure that out with your atlas sometime.
Well, and the definite article.
And the definite article is what sets it apart.
Yes.
It's a term of distinction. Anyways, team...
The Dalles. No, team the Beer Mongers.
Team Beer Mongers. I believe they're helping to host this. It's a scavenger hunt. If you haven't done cyclocross or alley cat before, this is kind of a mashing of the two. Alley cross, charity racing. There are 3 events this winter. One is on December 6th, and that's the one that's starting at the Beer Mongers at noon, December 6th, 2015. There will be fun. There will be prizes. It's on the flyer.
There'll be fun prizes.
Yeah. So ride for something bigger. This is, again, she's got some health problems, some issues, and this is kind of in her honor and for her benefit.
Right.
So if you like fun, if you like prizes, you should go. And if you like charity, because those are the three.
Yeah,
I think that's
if you
the,
like doing something for a cause.
Yeah. Yeah. So good on the beer mongers for hosting the inaugural, the first of three Alley Cross
races. Oh,
there's
three of them.
Yeah, because the other two, one is at Woodlawn Park. January 17th. The other is at VeloCult, which we know a thing or two about.
Yeah.
And that's February 21st, which I believe is like Lincoln's birthday or something.
Sure.
Or Washington's birthday, traditional. Or
observed.
Yeah. Or possibly
this one,
President's
this one
Day
I,
itself.
I will.
Yeah, okay. Because last year, I think we did our ride on President's Day, but I think there might have also been some kind of cross ride happening then as well. So, anyways, that's happening. And the beer mongers, they're a good space.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, that's where we were earlier. And now I'm drinking a Bad Santa from Pelican Brewing, which comes from the Oregon coast. It's a Cascadian dark ale. It's 7.5% alcohol by volume, and it is quite delicious. I'm a fan. So my
which do you prefer more, the 7.5% or the taste?
I think the taste on this one.
Yeah.
Like the, it doesn't hurt that it's a good, it's a heavy beer, as it were. But it's also flavored very well. The Cascadian Dark is one of my favorite styles of beer. So, yeah. So, Cranksgiving. We were there. Did you find out about President's Day?
No. I got else? Lost in this, like, everything else that happened on the 21st, for example.
Did you find the Wikipedia article for the 21st? Of February?
Yep.
Really?
Like, Nixon visits the People's Republic of China.
Really?
1972, February 21.
On the 21st, okay.
Soviet unmanned spaceship Luna 20 lands on the moon.
On the moon?
1972, February
I don't believe
21.
It.
It's true. Well, I mean, if you believe in the moon.
Right. I don't think it exists. Yeah. Nice.
All right. I got to get...
Okay.
Get that crap out of there.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
We will never know.
Let's take a page. We'll take a page from Mark Maron's book and say, why Google when you can speculate?
I love that. I think it's good advice. And not just because,
not just because Mark Maron said it, but also because Mark Maron said it.
I mean, there are many who would say that if Mark Maron said it, it's not good advice. But he's been getting better at giving advice.
No, he's been all right.
Yeah.
That's part of what I love about his podcast.
For sure.
It always starts off with a pretty healthy dose of self-awareness.
Exactly. Like, this is what I'm angry about.
Right.
This is why I was wrong.
This is why I'm eating yet a third bowl of cereal in my kitchen.
Exactly.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also some justcoffee.coop. Pow, I just shit my pants. It's a classic spot.
Oh, right.
Yeah. How was that?
Speaking of
do I
spots,
do an okay,
we got a thing from Audible here.
Except they're not our sponsor.
They are not.
And
I'm just saying I got this thing from them, and that's it.
Dare to say it's on the floor now.
Yep,
dare to say we will never be sponsored by Audible. Because the last thing someone who's listened to a podcast wants is an audiobook.
An
audiobook specifically. I'm pretty sure. I mean... Correct me if I'm wrong.
Do you think, well, let's go by our own opinion.
Listener, correct me if I'm wrong.
Do you think listening to podcasts sort of sublimates the book on tape?
Like the need for one?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think the trick is that Audible was one of the first advertisers for podcasts.
Right.
And so literally every podcast in the world, except for this one, is sponsored by audible.com. You know what I'd like to do? I would like to say that we are sponsored by inaudible.com. For when, you know what, you've just had enough content in your ears and you want some silence, inaudible.com. And you know what? If you're unhappy with the silence that you get after our free one-week trial, we will refund and provide you with silence that is more fitting to your needs. inaudible.com. For when your ears are tired.
You know, we got to buy that domain now. Someone's going to go to that and be like, oh, it's a porn virus.
Oh, that's true. I didn't vet this beforehand. I take no responsibility. Yep. This is all for satiric purposes.
Use the internet at your own risk.
Exactly. Yes. Don't do that at work. You know, I was at work today.
Wait, what did you think of Cranksgiving?
Cranksgiving. You know, nothing happened at work today. I thought Cranksgiving was great.
I just totally derailed your train of thought. I'm sorry.
No, Cranksgiving was a lot of fun. And the cool thing was that, like, the first 2 years that we participated, so the first year, I think I did it without you because you had to work. And
that's
second
right.
year.
Yes. Wait.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Because my housemate,
yeah.
Sean, second year, you were with my housemate, Sean. Second year was Kelvin and Hobbs?
Yes. Yeah. Right. So Daniel Harkins, Brandon Shelby, Adele, and I were all on the team. And so we participated. But this year, you had the idea of, like, why don't we volunteer? Why don't we help the event work?
Right.
Why don't we make it happen? And it did. And we did.
We did it.
Maybe it did because we did.
At least in part, yes.
Yeah. So, Cranksgiving, it's the gathering of foods and other things for a local charity. In this case, Outside In. They take
yeah.
care of.
I was telling everyone Oregon Food Bank until I found out, like, circuitously it was for someone else. I was like,
yeah. Well, you know, they're similar. Outside In caters specifically to minors who don't have a home.
Right.
So kids living outdoors. And, it's kind of a fundraiser, especially I think Outside In deals with the needs of a lot of people that don't get served by other nonprofits for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of programs out there too. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people who fall through the cracks. There's a lot of programs that will help shelter, will help feed, but generally, yeah, you have to be an adult. You have to be, you know, of age.
Right. Well, and you might have to fit someone's preconceptions of what they want you to be, too,
right,
like
right.
in one way or another. I think there's a fair number of sexual orientation or disposition minority groups that are served by Outside In that would not be served by other more
right,
traditional
right.
charities.
And
it's part of the reason
I'm
they're
speculating
there.
Is that, like, yeah, Outside In saw this need of people falling through the cracks and said, let's see what we can do to help
right.
out here.
Right. And so, they are providing very necessary services for people. And so we're glad to be a part of that, glad to help. And Cranksgiving has been involved with them for several years now. Am I correct in remembering that we had the top banana award, or did Seattle have it and we wanted to steal it?
I think last year. Well, I know the first year that you did it, so is that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
We got top banana.
Okay. And that's the most things gathered for a local charity,
right? I can't
recall
if last year we got it or not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm unclear on whether or not we were supposed to claim the top banana or defend the top banana this year.
It was not even mentioned, so maybe...
Maybe we shouldn't be talking about it.
Oh, no. Maybe it's a sore subject.
But, so that was on the table, and it is still at this point tabled. But, no, it was great. It was a lot of fun. Part of it was... you know, I enjoy a good sporting chance at winning something as much as the next person. But it was also somewhat like it was a relief not to have to compete.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt so relaxed.
Yeah. There was that like couple hours where we were just hanging out.
Yeah. I was sitting at the bar like after people left. And it was like an hour of free space before we had any sort of responsibilities.
I also really liked being able to text everybody.
Yeah.
The,
we were the voices.
Secret bonus clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone responded to my text message.
Yeah, me too.
What was it? Powers on High or something like that is how they addressed me.
Oh,
and
really?
And that made me feel good. Maybe it was Powers on High.
I just got texted the answer, but it made me realize this was a little glitch maybe or an oversight of some kind. Sometimes when you do mass texts, depending on the device and the service or whatever, whenever someone replies to that mass text, it replies to everybody.
To everybody.
Yeah.
Which means that they gave the answer to everyone.
So like all five or whatever many people that you texted in that group, if one of them happened to catch that first and reply, all of them got that,
right.
got that answer.
Right. Well,
which, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a big deal, though, because the thing is, I was one of the accountants that scored up all the receipts and tallied the manifest and everything. And I can say... with experience as one of those accountants, I think without giving anything away, that what you did for the good of others was worth far more for your team and far more for the event than the bonus question that was texted.
Yeah. No one won based on that many points.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That was the job that I didn't want, and I ended up not doing.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. That was the job I wanted because I like working with numbers.
Yeah. I liked the whole, I don't know, being able to, or I would have, I think, liked being able to, like, have some input as to, like, who had best costume or who had best theme.
Ah, yes.
Those more subjective things.
Yeah.
But since I wasn't part of the tallying, and I was up on the stage, you know, writing all the information that entire time, I wasn't part of that.
Yeah, you were the scribe that got to write down team names. And the amount of, financially, the amount of products donated, like how much they were all worth.
This all happened because I got there early.
Ah.
And
that's
I
what
was
you
helping
get.
Out. Yeah, this is what I get for...
for being on
for,
time.
For being on... Well, yeah, I got there on time, which meant I was early.
Right.
And I was helping out with some of the prize envelopes, and so I would write, you know, just using fancy looking letters.
Yeah, which you're good at.
Yeah.
Have you ever designed fonts?
No. I mean, I've designed with fonts.
Right. But I feel but like you could design fonts.
I don't know. Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'll give it a try sometime.
You could be the Tom Waits.
I wouldn't even know how the Tom Waits
the Tom
of font,
Waits of
font
topography. Typography, not topography.
Right.
Although you could be the Tom Waits of topography, too, if you wanted to.
I would not be the Tom Waits of topology, though.
Oh, true. Waits topology.
Topology?
What does that
it's,
mean?
It's the study of number sets.
Oh, okay. It's, right, which we got some mail about later on.
It's actually what my brother Dan got his master's in.
Oh, really? Wait, yes. You can get a master's in that?
Yes.
Wow. I say this not because I think that's made up, but I want to make up some sort of thing that I could have a master's degree in.
Well, I think it's made up.
Well, it is. Someone created it, yes. Not out of whole cloth, but just kind of as a thing. Like
right.
It was put together by someone, assembled by someone.
I don't know. Ethnomusicology wasn't a thing until it became a thing.
Right, and that's a valuable service.
And now it is, yeah.
I'd like to be, I'd like to have a master's in, I don't know, the aesthetic appreciation of music, devoid and separate from artistic value.
I would like to have a master's in bachelor's. just studying single men and like what drives you, what keeps you going.
I thought you meant like you just keep on getting bachelor's degrees until they all add up to a master's.
What's the conversion on that?
It's a good question. I feel like it would be like 2.5 or something, but I don't know. It probably depends. But yeah, so anyways, it was fun to be involved.
Yeah.
Kind of fun to be behind the scenes in a way, although we were like also kind of in front of the scenes, like we were the scenes in a way, but yeah, but making something happen and seeing everybody else have a good time. Costumes.
Yeah.
Did the
retrospect, I'm glad we just went with the Team Sincerity costume.
Right. The traditional way. Punk rock Mormon missionary yes. outfit. Yeah. With nameplates and everything.
Yeah. As opposed to the, yeah, the tiger outfits, which
right.
we were debating.
Well,
I think that would, well, I don't know.
I don't know. I also wore the tiger suit last year, so
yeah.
It's nice to switch it up a little bit without having to switch it up at all.
But as not being like actual participants,
right?
It might be a little strange. I don't
yeah.
know.
Well, and we looked more officious wearing the ties yes. and nameplates.
Yes.
Yeah. I forget if they actually won the prize for best costumes, but side dishes.
Oh,
I thought that was
yes,
a pretty good costume.
Best theme, I think it was.
Okay,
best
yeah.
group theme.
Because it was five people wearing kind of a checked tablecloth sort of outfit. And each one of them. Yeah.
Glued or strapped to them.
Mm-hmm. Each one of them had a famous Thanksgiving traditional side dish, like, say, a box of stuffing
right.
attached to their leg or something like that. So,
yes.
It was a good theme. I thought they did very well.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a ton of other good.
They had
good
a, like a team chant, too.
What was their? I never heard this.
Oh, I couldn't tell you okay. it verbatim. I just know they got up on stage and did it.
I'm quite disappointed.
Yeah, I'm a little sad. I'm sad for you. You missed a really, really good part of the show.
The thing is, I was in the room.
And you just didn't pay attention.
I think another team returned late, and
oh,
so I
that's
was
right.
tallying up their
yes.
stuff, so I totally missed that part.
Yes, the Lucky Ducks, who, by the way, borrowed a Bach Feats from Clever Cycles.
Oh, that was them?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Nice. Good for them.
And
because you can haul more donated materials.
Yeah, I lost my shit when I found out they had a Bach Feats from Clever Cycles.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it? What does that look like?
I was like, wow, really? Can I go look at it? Is someone going to ride in there? Someone should definitely ride in there.
Nice. Nice. It was kind of the, and it was the foamer equivalent.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then I admitted, like, yeah. So my girlfriend works for Clever Cycles.
Yes.
And so I just got really excited. And they're like, oh, you're him. She mentioned her boyfriend was. And so then we came full circle.
You're the famous boyfriend.
Apparently.
And also this.
Oh, my God. It's the East Portland Attraction Company. Oregon Pacific. I can't believe it.
I can't believe a Bach Feats. You're going to write it at Cranksgiving.
That's pretty much you.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
much yeah. you.
More on that later.
Yeah. So that was a good time. Is there anything else to say about Cranksgiving other than we had a good time? We were there for
great
a while.
Time.
Yeah. And congratulations. Thank you, Tom.
Over $1,000 of provisions.
Yeah.
Raised.
Tom McTighe. And who was the other lady who was in charge?
Ashley, whose last name I cannot.
Yes.
I cannot recall.
Thank you, Ashley. It was a lot of administrative work to kind of put this thing on, and
yes.
everyone did a great job.
Yes.
Thanks to VeloCult for hosting.
And thanks, yeah, and well, not thanks to Puddle Cycle, because Tom McTighe
is Puddle Cycle.
But,
yeah.
but also, yeah, Puddle Cycle, I don't know, deserves a shout out
yeah.
for all that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, for sure.
Go there.
Definitely.
PuddleCycle.com, I think.
Yes.
Use the internet at your own risk.
17 rides that will make your Nana go wild.
That's right.
Or no, we'll blow your Nana's mind.
There you go.
Yeah. So if you want to scandalize your grandmother with some bike riding, this is what's going to happen. As the Flight of the Conchords would say, there ain't no party like my Nana's tea party.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey. Ho.
Hey, so what happened at work today?
At work today?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just one of those classic misdirects where, like, your friend sends you something in, like, an email, and you think it's about one thing, and then you open it, and then it's wildly inappropriate for work.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, I was alone in the room at the time.
Okay.
But I was just like, oh, my God, why? Who saw this? You know, is Internet Technology Services going to be, like, coming to the building later to take away that, yeah.
Yeah.
Snipping the connection to the Internet from the entire building because of one damn email.
Well, they would trace it to your IP.
They would, and the thing is, well, that's how you know. Like, once you've gotten one of those messages, you never open attachments, never follow links from that person
ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be, depending on the level of relationship that I have with that person, I would be very tempted to just block every email from that point on.
Right. Well, and see, this is a person I don't want to dissociate from them, but
right.
that person thought they were sending this to me, like, on my phone at home, probably,
sure.
or something. And because I use Google Voice to route all my text messaging, I happened to be looking at it on my work computer.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's what happened.
At some point, you also, like, have to go, like, okay, I need to sort, like, I have to compartment. But I don't know.
I need to compartmentalize my life.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. So, anyways, lessons learned.
Yep.
Yeah. Can I tell you about the attempted century?
I was about to ask what happened yesterday.
Well,
on the century.
First off, let me point out this is something I also put on the list.
Oh, nice!
Notice what's around my left ankle.
Yes,
it's a bungee cable.
Do you need a strap of some kind? Or
yeah, I do, and that's why I have a bungee cable
around
my leg.
Yes, okay.
So I used to have, like, I don't know, the Velcro ties that you tie your pants away from the chain with. I like having one on both legs because I wear. Unfashionably so, I wear pants with large ankle areas.
Well, symmetry is important to you.
It is important to me. And, well, if I was with the trend of wearing skinny pants like people do these days, I wouldn't have this problem. But I like...
No, I suppose not.
I like pants that have a nice vintage 70s flair to them.
Sure. And a perma crease.
Yes. And because of that, I need to have both of my ankles tied when I ride my bike. Otherwise, or risk, you know, like the chopping and the greaseifying and the staining of the pants.
Okay.
And that's not a thing I'm into. So anyways, I have the one that you may have given me. Is this the
the
Clif Bar one that we got from Filmed by Bike when we came out and there were Clif Bars attached
on
to our
every
bikes
bike with a little rubber strap thing
made of a bicycle tube.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I only had one of those. So the other one I had, the other pant leg had to be wrapped up with this bungee cable that's around my leg still.
I see.
It worked out pretty well. But there was this invite to a century. I got the invite on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's people who are Thursday Night Ride participants, also Seen About Town, you know, participants in Bike Scum, participants in...
I was going to say, was it specifically a Bike Scum event, or was it just Bike Scum putting it on?
No, the title of the event on Facebook was, Fuck It, Sunday Century.
Right on.
And so I was like, that sounds fun, right?
Yeah.
So it was set up, but the trick is... A couple people had been out the night before kind of living it up and having a good time.
Sure.
And someone mentioned waking up and not wanting to lead the ride.
Oh.
I won't say who that was, but...
well, I would imagine it would be the ride leader.
But no, he was a game day player. He showed up.
All right.
And So it was there were seven of us in all, and the idea was we were going to ride from Portland out to the Bridge of the Gods and then ride back.
But you were going to go out the Washington side and back the Oregon
correct.
Side.
That's correct, yeah, on the Washington side. So that's usually I go out the Oregon side and come back the Oregon side. But, yeah, going out the Washington side sounded like fun.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do a century. I was like, you know, I got nothing going on Sunday. I've got all day. So why don't we do this? But the trick was, you know, when you try to organize people for a ride after – many of them have been out late the night before.
Well, it takes Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Friday and Saturday to live it up if you
right.
As general American culture goes.
Generally, yeah. Yes. That meant that no one was really ready to go, like, right at the time that we had all said we were going to start.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we get started, you know, like, maybe like an hour late.
Uh-huh.
And then we get out on the road. The other trick was we had a couple of mechanical issues.
Oh, no.
It was there was a fellow who had a bike, and the tires were smaller than the Evergreen Highway might dictate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so...
Is there, like, gravel on the Evergreen Highway, or is it just kind of rough?
No, the Evergreen Highway is between the I-205 bridge and Camas. I think the flattest and best way to get to Camas on the Washington side of the Columbia River.
Okay.
And it's an old highway. And most of it is made up of old concrete slabs that might be the original slabs from like 1905 or something. I don't know. Whenever they laid those slabs, like they've been there ever since.
See, I would know this if I actually took the Evergreen Highway when I
as opposed to Highway 14.
Yeah, when I took that route back.
Yeah. So the Evergreen Highway is a pleasant ride, but bumpy and rocky.
Okay.
So I think we
so
got a
thin
couple,
tires would be
mm-hmm,
yeah
narrow tires, maybe somewhat thin tires. It was a performance-geared bike, not necessarily a bike that would be great at handling some of that rough terrain on that old road. So we had a flat, which we stopped and fixed in a guy's driveway. And then we fixed that, and we kept on going. Then we got another flat. So we had a couple different mechanicals on this one bike, and it took a while to fix them. And by the time...
Wait, both of these flats were the same bike?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were pinch flats. So, difficult to repair. Yeah. Not impossible. Like, it was done.
Oh, okay.
But this is where I will say I was really I was impressed because Jeff was one of the guys that was coordinating the ride.
Uh-huh.
And he was super helpful as far as kind of assisting and getting this machine back on the road. And then everybody else on the ride. More than accommodating to kind of rally and make the repair happen.
Uh-huh.
But by the time that we got to Camas, I think we might have had three stops. So by the time we got to Camas, it turned out that it was like 11:30 or maybe almost noon.
Uh-huh.
And so at that point, with only about 4.5 hours of daylight left, we weren't really going to be able to get a century in. So we had gone, you know, like maybe 24
that
miles.
Is a good point. Not as much daylight in the winter.
It's hard to do a century in the winter unless you start at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
you could.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You could ride it in the dark. You could finish it in the dark.
Yeah, so there is that. I think the only other thing that I had in mind was both the cold, because it's, you know, it's got to be colder weather here this time
week,
of year.
This week especially has been cold. I'm not going to say it's cold unbearably because anytime you complain about the cold outside of Alaska, Phil will slay a polar bear.
That's right. And nobody wants that.
No, we must save the polar bears.
Well, yeah, and that, the only way we know how is not complain about the cold.
Yep.
So
put on a sweater.
Yeah, exactly. So we made the call in Camas to turn around and go the opposite direction. And so again, I will say I was incredibly impressed.
I guess you couldn't. There's no other bridge. Like
no,
at that point.
There's not. No. Yeah. You, I mean, unless you know a boatman of some repute between here and there, and most don't.
Nope.
Yeah. There's no way across from the I-205 bridge to the Bridge of the Gods. That's about 50 miles, more or less. So, yeah, we made the call. But I was impressed by, everyone's demeanor. Like, I think we would have wanted to do the century had it been viable. Mm-hmm. But things being as they were, everybody was pretty flexible and pretty ready to do something different as needed.
Yeah.
So I was impressed with that. I was impressed with, multiple mechanicals on a single bike. It's not fun to deal with.
Yeah. I could see myself going one of two ways. If it were my bike, being like really angry and almost ashamed that I brought this bike.
Sure.
If it weren't my bike, like going this way of like, you know, why is this person bringing this bike? That doesn't work.
Right,
you
know, right, yeah.
I would like to think I'm a little bit more graceful than that, but I also, am still human and aware of those things.
Sometimes shit happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just impressed that, people who were obviously they weren't excited when another mechanical was announced.
Sure.
But the attitude of everyone involved was really good.
Oh, that's good.
You know, given the trying nature of dealing with a problem.
Well, and that tends to help too. Like if the general vibe of the thing is sort of supportive and positive, everybody
yeah, for
tends
sure.
to stay that way.
Definitely. Yeah. So Jeff, if you ever happen to bump into Jeff on a bike ride in Portland, good people. David Robinson, who we've had in here before, also
did
great.
He do this?
Yeah.
On a fixed gear?
He did not.
Okay.
No. We were comparing Jameis's because he and I both have Jameis.
Ah.
And he had brought his out of the mothballs and back into service. So this was the first time it had been out in a while.
Was it a Coda as well? Or
no, it's some other. It's okay. It's an aluminum one, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I was just impressed. Again, like, I think a little bit of a good attitude and a little bit of a kind of a positive spin on something goes a long ways. Particularly when there's a whole group of people kind of standing around waiting to figure out what's going on. And I was impressed by those people and their attitudes and their get up and go attitude. You know, just like the way they responded made a huge difference in the way the day went.
Yeah.
So that was great.
That's cool.
Yeah. So after that, we went back towards Portland.
Where'd you stop in Camas, by the way?
In Camas, we stopped the first place you can stop in Camas, the Shell station.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where apparently they're not cool with you, like, filling water bottles. I'm not sure if that was just the person that was working that morning or what.
Or if it's, like, a policy.
Maybe. But I think the lesson there was, like, fill your bottle first and then, you know, if need be, ask if it was okay.
Always better to apologize later.
Yeah, as you're buying, like, I bought Cheetos. A lot of them.
I have had an experience on the way back from the Vista House one time on a hot summer day.
Oh.
And
at a business?
At a stop in what is one of the small towns there?
Corbett?
Starts with a C. Yes, in Corbett.
Ooh, yeah.
At a gas station there wanting to fill up and the person wouldn't let me.
Okay.
And if I wasn't like I almost did, but I was just so freaking dehydrated and hot. Like, I had a Gatorade, and I was wanting to fill up my water bottle. The person wouldn't let me fill up the water bottle.
Okay.
And I had, like, just a bunch of other snacks.
This is the Corbett Country Store, I think?
I don't know.
We don't need to identify them.
Yeah.
Specifically.
I don't know for sure.
I will say they get a lot of bicycle traffic through that corridor.
Yes.
And they probably don't want to open the floodgates.
That probably is something to do with it.
Maybe.
Or had the floodgates abused at some point.
Right.
Or whatever. But
I don't think they have bathrooms either.
as I'm buying this, I'm like, can I fill up my water bottle? The lady's like, no, you can buy a water from the case.
You can buy pre-bottled water.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, I just want
I don't want that water.
Right. I'll just take it from, I'll take it from the hose if you want. Or, if
do you,
you
have a hose?
To. Yeah.
Only to beat people.
But yeah, only for punks like you. But yeah, this person was adamant that like they don't give away water. You have to buy water. And yeah. I was like so mad. I wanted to just be like, well, I don't want any of this. But I also was aware enough that I needed food and water. And
that,
so I was
yeah.
like, you win this time.
Right, right. Well, I'm sorry that had to happen that way.
That's all right.
But yeah.
I'm just saying. There's some that aren't so great.
There are some. And then there are some.
And then there are some that are.
Yeah. So I can't. I can only speak in vague and veiled terms about the rest of the night because I'm not sure about the. Because
you don't remember it.
No, there's a couple. Although that could be the case, but the varying legalities. I don't know exactly what the high water mark means for legality and uh-huh. exactly where that mark is. But just for like the sake of hypothetical exploration, let's posit that there's a place. Somewhere near the confluence of two rivers where you could build a fire below the high water mark.
Okay.
Let's say that such a thing happened when a group of people tried to do a century and ended up not having enough time to do so.
Doing the century.
And let's just posit in this hypothetical scenario that that there was beer involved and there were snacks and there was a glorious sunset and an enormous fucking boat that came up the river while these people were hanging out there. And, and also an interesting interaction with someone who did a couple of bike tours with a friend and was walking their dog down the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Who might hypothetically have a sticker of some prominent bicycling podcast now. Let's just say all that happened in this fictional world. That would be close to what happened for me at the end of this century.
Right.
So, you know,
but legally distinct from that.
Yes, legally distinct. This is all for satirical purposes.
I don't know if that actually applies.
There is nothing better than hanging out, watching the sunset, hanging out with some people, and drinking a beer around
yeah,
a fire.
There is something magical about sunsets and sunrises. I don't know. Like, I'm sure it like recalls something primal.
Right.
To us.
Yeah.
But especially like sharing it with people that you're close to or just people that you've shared an adventure with.
So totally.
It
yeah.
just makes it really cool.
Spent all day with these people, you know, just like from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So towards the end of our century attempt, there was also, I think we ended up, for me, I didn't count it out actually, but I'm guessing like somewhere around 50 miles of actual road.
Hey, that ain't
the tires.
Nothing, man.
Yeah. So it wasn't a century, but it wasn't a commute.
Right.
It was more than that. I think there were two more mechanicals on a different bike, but also the same bike.
Ah.
So we ended up fixing a flat in a parking lot and then fixing another flat later on. I think eventually I bailed because I knew I had to get up at 5 for work. And so I was like, guys, I'm sorry. It sucks that there's this other flat tire, but I really have to keep going.
Yeah.
So eventually I made it back, but really cold out last night. Really cold.
So it's been dropping pretty steadily. Supposedly the low is going to be on Thursday.
Really?
Ironically. Yes.
On Thanksgiving
Day.
Okay, yeah. So not a good time to, say, book a cabin and try to bike out there.
I wouldn't stop anyone from doing that.
I only bring that up because Adele and I thought that
really?
Maybe we would do that.
Like Stubb Stewart style?
We were going to book a cabin and then ride like halfway to my parents' place and then stay in this cabin.
Oh, right. And then
the rest of the way the next day.
Uh-huh.
But it turned out there was like an ice storm advisory. And,
damn.
So not only could we not, well, I mean, we could have biked there, but it just didn't seem prudent or wise to go into the hinterlands of Washington during an ice advisory on two wheels. So we didn't do that. And then they canceled the bus we were going to take to get up there because of the ice advisory. So I think we ended up carpooling with someone up to Tacoma that year.
Oh.
So, yeah, things
happen. But this year, you're not going anywhere.
This year, my family's coming to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of exciting.
How's that feel? This is the first time that you've had the family over for Thanksgiving.
You know, we had them over, I want to say 2010.
Oh, okay.
A couple of years back, they came
really
down here.
That?
Yeah.
2010?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think that was it.
Okay.
It's been a while. But yeah, I just hope I don't offend them all.
Well, it's your house. You can't. You can't offend them.
You're like, well, you don't like my rules? Get out. No, it's all
not under my roof.
We're not actually having anyone stay the night. So I think a day visit. I think we'll
be
good
perfect.
Entertainers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my mom's bringing the bird. So.
Oh, cool. I am going to attempt to grill turkey this time.
Really?
Around. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A turkey that you yourself will not eat.
I have had this tradition, a personal tradition of cooking the turkey every time I'm hosting or like in the house that's hosting.
Ah, yeah. And that's your situation right now.
And that's been my situation for a number of years.
Yeah.
Last year was an exception. And then maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But I get rave reviews every time, so I'm not gonna
don't question
I'm
that.
I'm not gonna complain
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, you do that. You cook your bird.
Yep. I know. Look, just because I don't eat it doesn't mean I don't know what's going to taste good when I cook it.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. People were like, you're gonna put what inside there? And I'm like, look, trust me. And that's all I'm gonna say about
that. Oh, nice. Does it have to do with sausage?
It does not have to do with sausage.
Because I heard someone talk about sausage stuffing.
Really?
You take like pig parts and put it inside of a bird?
You don't want to put anything inside a bird that you're going to eat later.
Ah, yeah, yeah. For obvious reasons, it would seem.
Well, it would seem obvious. I don't know. I thought that's what they used to do in the past. They like stuffing usually was like stuffed from the turkey.
Right.
But apparently that isn't necessarily the case.
Mm-hmm. At the risk of repeating myself.
Yes.
You give him the bird this year.
Oh, I'm cooking too.
Perfect. Good for you. I'm
one in the oven, one on the grill. So.
As it were.
Yes.
Good. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Tell me about moving, because you and I are going to be housemates.
I'm moving in with you.
For 2 months.
So I'm leaving my job at the end of the year. Hopefully to pursue other jobs. And I don't know where that's going to take me yet, but,
or to pursue adventure.
I'm still too poor to pursue adventure at this point. but it's given me this opportunity to, also find another house because I've been living and working in the same place.
Right.
That was part of my work, was also living there.
Are you looking forward to separating the two?
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
I would. Yeah. So I think that's part of why there is kind of generally one, it appeals, that kind of job appeals mostly to 20 somethings who have just kind of come out of college.
And they're used to a co-housing environment.
They're more used to co-housing.
It's
like
a dorm.
Yeah.
There's parties every night.
I don't know. There's also kind of a high turnover with those kinds of jobs because you don't have a separation between work and your living space.
Like the job asks a lot of you, and so you need a lot of people that are willing to kind of give that for a short period of time.
Some people can do it. Some people have been able to do this, in this organization. There are people who've done this for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And I really honestly thought I was going to be one of them, but I'm not.
Hey,
I just,
it's good to know.
And I'm cool with that now. It took me a while to get okay with that.
Right.
But yeah.
Hey, I can hear like things rattling.
Yeah.
because of the train.
Is that? I was gonna say. I wonder. Like, was that my iPod rattling on the desk? What's going on?
There's no way to know.
We'll never know. But you know, there's a train going by.
Is there really?
Yeah.
You mean like one of the ones that people get excited about?
Maybe.
Oh my God! It's the East Portland Traction Company.
I'm never going to get tired of that.
No, me neither. What I really like is just imagining Eric standing outside those tracks,
oh,
just
you mentioned
waiting
that.
For
yeah,
this
yeah.
to happen.
Right.
And and just, all right, here it comes. I'm going to do it, guys.
Hey, you know what's cool? Everyone has a microphone in their pocket these days.
They do.
I am sure at some point someone listening to this show is going to do something amusing and send it to us. The email is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Nice. Hey, so, well, speaking of mail, well, yeah. What else? What else? Hey, so I'm moving in.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. No,
how
yeah.
about that?
So my housemate has seasonal employment out of state, so right. he's heading out for a couple of months, and you're going to fill that room while he's gone. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this will be exciting. You lived in my RV like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've kind
ironically,
of shared
or,
spaces
or
before.
Coincidentally, the last person to yeah. live in that RV.
And then it was given away.
and then we just had to let it go.
Trust me, that wasn't your fault. It was it was the number of people who had lived in it prior to you.
I believe it's only a cosmetic connection and not, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, here's the question. How much of your stuff do you think you're going to move by bike?
Not very much. Mm-hmm. I've spent a lot of today boxing things.
Okay.
And Anna was kind enough to rent me a car for the weekend of Thanksgiving.
To get stuff
Saturday
out.
And Sunday, yeah.
Are you storing some stuff at her house?
Yeah, nice. She's got some garage space there.
That's cool of her.
Her housemates have been kind enough to loan me. And
it's cool of her housemates.
Hopefully that should be all the space I'll need as far as storage.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What about the board that you sleep on?
I was going to just put that on top of the mattress.
Easy enough.
of Jeff's bed.
Let it be known. We've talked about this before, right?
That I sleep on a board?
Aaron Flores sleeps on a board.
I mean, if we haven't talked about this before, I'm really surprised. Yeah, I haven't had a mattress since, like, college.
I think it pissed me off when I first learned of it.
Really?
I was like, who the fuck does this guy think he is? Do you think he doesn't need back support? But apparently you don't.
He's like the hipster of beds.
Right. I was thinking if we ever did advertising for some mattress company. Be like,
how could I possibly endorse a mattress after this?
Aaron Flores won't sleep on a mattress, but he'll sleep on this one.
Yeah, there you go.
So, sponsorship deals in the works. We should talk to that company that delivers mattresses in town by bike.
Oh, who is that?
And we should talk to them anyways.
Yeah,
I forget what they're called right now, but I considered buying from them. Until I found that what I wanted was out of my price range. But they sound like a great option. It's all natural latex that they use in their mattresses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. But we could get them to make like a special board that they would deliver by bike. They call it the Aaron.
The Aaron, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I throw a blanket over it. It's not that I sleep on a bare board or anything.
Well, this changes everything.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
you don't think so highly of me now, huh?
So just the last thing I wanted to mention was that Dyno Hubs.
Oh,
I,
right. Yeah,
not so much the hub.
Some issues with.
But the headlight. Drew, the welder, he's on our donor list because he passed along this headlamp of his that I've been using for time immemorial now, it seems. But apparently, it's an older version. I don't know if you've had experiences like this with yours or not, but sometimes moisture can seep into this light that I have.
So far, I haven't.
That's good.
Also keep mine indoors.
That's good.
I wonder if that has something to do with it.
I keep mine mostly outdoors when I'm at work.
Well, and you keep it in a garage. When
and I keep it in a garage, yes. A cold garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I realized that the bag, the little plastic baggie that I had over the light to protect it from rainfall was also, it was loosely connected at the bottom.
Okay.
Which meant that moisture was seeping up into the bag.
Sure.
So, that could have been it. Anyways, Drew was kind enough to respond promptly to an email. I was like, my light doesn't work. My life sucks. Seriously, I was meeting Adele.
I already got rid of all of my battery-operated lights.
Well, the thing is, I really don't have many at this point. Excuse me. I was going out to dinner with Adele, and I showed up, and like I was so like pissed off and angry at the world and at the light and everything because I was trying to get there, and I just couldn't get light out of the light. Like, it wasn't – like, it would generate when I would roll at the slowest roll I could possibly get. But then, like, as soon as I sped up, no light.
Oh.
And it turns out that's an effect of moisture inside the casing, as far as I know. So Drew was kind enough to respond to me, and he assured me that my life was not futile. And I took the lens off, actually, and that kind of kept things clear and dry, and so it worked out well. So anyways, thanks, Drew. Good times. Well, hey, you know what we got?
I do.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Yes, we do. We got lots of mail. First off, we got some physical mail.
Physical mail.
Or
that's
a package,
like
actually.
The post, as they would say.
Yeah. We got this book. It was, so when I arrived, this
hold,
was
hold that close to the mic when you page through it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a physical book. Not only that, it's a transatlantic physical book.
Yes. So, crap cycle lanes, 50 worst cycle lanes in Britain.
That's fantastic.
Also, I just noticed this. Royalties support the Cycling Defense Fund.
Royalty supports it?
Yes.
Really? God save Royal, the queen.
No, royalties. Like,
oh.
The royalties of this book.
Oh.
Support.
God save the proceeds of this book.
Screw the queen.
What did the note say?
Yeah. So this is...
Wait, can we say that? Do we have to edit that out?
Oh.
I don't know. We'll find
out. I don't
out.
Know.
Let's hope not.
I didn't, like, physically threaten...
No, we're Americans.
And, yeah. Right?
I
mean, that's why we fought a whole war for this, right?
I think everybody knows where we stand. We're
I
just
know.
Kidding. This is all for satirical purposes. So
so this says, okay, not all lanes are this bad, but it gives a glimpse of the infrastructure in the UK. Cheers, Caleb in Leeds.
Yeah, thanks, Caleb.
Yeah.
And this is a super cool book because it's like, you know, it's about the size of a coaster. It's
I just opened it and there's a cycle lane. It looks really nice as far as the cycle lane goes, but then there's a litter, like a trash can right in the middle of the lane.
In the lane. Wait, so this is kind of like the my bike won't fit here thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Except it's my this lane won't
this
work
bike
well.
Won't ride here.
Here's, exactly.
Right on the cover is a bike lane with an arrow, and the arrow like ends. And
oh, yeah, pointing straight into
right.
a bollard, yeah. Crap cycle lanes. This is so great. I'm going to read the entire thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This one has a prompt in. How nice.
Nice. This will be like good studio reading, I think, for our guests yes. while they're waiting to, yeah.
While they're waiting on our time.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, and then secondly, in the physical mail, we got a card.
A card.
From Scott McAllister Morgan.
Thanks,
supporter
Scott.
Supporter of the show.
It's got a nice picture of a path around the San Francisco Bay.
Yeah. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I will read that. Yeah, found a card to represent my ride on the San Francisco Bay Transit. I was trying to find a ride or find a card that represented that ride. I took part in the Santa Clara County Trails Forum. The Bay Trail Project were giving away cards with views of this trail. I grabbed a few, and this is the first I'm sending. And it is... Yeah, the San Francisco Bay Trail.
Yeah, it's pretty too. A lot of blue in that card.
Yeah, the
it's
section
awesome.
On the picture is currently closed for resurfacing as part of Google's Bike Vision plan,
which I would like to know more about.
It will reopen
someday.
In 2016.
Yeah,
I did not know Google had a Bike Vision plan,
but I'm glad they do.
That they're working with San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, the best thing is we know it won't be evil.
Interior? Yes, because that's yeah. their like
that's their motto.
Yeah, their thing, right? Do no evil.
They do have, yeah. I think it's just don't be evil.
Don't be evil.
I think that's their corporate slogan.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah, I've failed so far, but yes.
I mean, yeah. So many directions I could take this in.
Let's move on, shall
yes.
we?
onward with some tweets. One from Andre Johnson, who says, closing voices. Fred and Barney have a certain symmetry.
Hmm, interesting. I'll have to think about this.
I was going to say, do you know enough about the Flintstones to be able to do an impression of Fred
it's
and or Barney?
It's been many yeah. years, yeah.
I actually got on the YouTube and like watched a few clips just so I could like hear what their voices sound like. I'm not sure.
I think we should table that one until we have someone in the room to entertain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not that we don't, obviously, you know,
we
the fact
do.
That you are listening.
We have lots of people in this room to entertain.
Well, we have each other. Shouldn't that be enough? Yeah, I think we should. I think we should do this at some point.
Yes.
I also think I need to do some research.
Yes. Also from Eric Iverson. Dudes, I'm on the freaking soundboard at the Sprocket Podcast.
Oh, my God.
Made my night. I'm literally and figuratively foaming over here.
That's right. Oh, yeah. This is where we talked about the fact that it's foaming.
He's foaming about his foaming. Just not too much, or else you'll be in limbo and you won't be able to come
Seriously.
Back.
Yeah. No one's ever gone down that far.
I wonder if Eric has a toy train as his totem. He just carries a toy train. Oh, it's the Monopoly piece.
Oh, sure.
The train Monopoly piece.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, the big twist at the end is whether or not it actually has, like, steam coming out of it. He also sent us a picture on Twitter that said, where the beer mongers, where there's always a seat open for you, except during Timbers playoffs.
Yes.
And he sent us a picture of how it's just packed out.
Yes.
But if you're there for the Timbers, like, you don't need a seat.
No. Nah.
You paid for the seat, but you'll only need the space in front of it.
I was wondering where you're going to go with
that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Comments from episode 267. Apparently, people really liked this one, or at least it brought a lot of conversation.
So much conversation.
Table.
Yeah. Johnny K says penultimate is next to last.
This is related to the word penult, which means next to last.
I was right.
And then he also says, wow, look at all the comments. I'm pleasantly surprised that there are so many commenting on this episode. I remember when there was nothing but tumbleweeds here.
Me too. I'm very glad that people are commenting. It's nice to see a little bit of interaction back and forth.
I am glad that our commenters are so polite and nice.
Right. He also said, yeah, the truck is a useful thing because his wife needs a little bit of help getting places around sometimes. And so, yeah, it's been useful for them to kind of get out and be somewhere and then explore that place. And that's kind of what I want to do with my truck.
He also says you should get a bigger cab because you never know. There might be a Brock Jr. sometime.
Right. And this is where I flatly refuse because I want a tiny truck.
Because you want a tiny Brock Jr.?
Well, if there's, I want to be able to put him in the glove compartment.
It's like it's like the whole fishbowl. The fish will only grow.
He's only
going to
get as big as the cab. I think I got to check and see if they're like, if is it legal to have a car seat in the front seat of a truck? I'm pretty sure it is, because it's also legal.
Yeah, it's got to be, right.
You know what else is legal? If all the seat belts are taken up in the truck, you can sit in the back in Oregon.
Oh, in the cab? Or, yeah, like, not like the cab, in the payload.
Yeah. Without, like, you don't have to have seatbelts back there.
No.
So.
Wait, I thought that was always the case.
I just had to clarify.
Across the board.
Not in every state.
Really?
Yeah, some states are super safety conscious. Oh. Oregon, not so much.
Ah.
But the thing is, I was thinking if I had two kids, Adele could drive the truck and I could sit in the back.
Ah, yes.
Because you
I
can't put a
love...
minor in the back of the truck in Oregon.
You can't just, like, leave the car seat back there.
Well, yeah. Or, like, a loose minor. Unless you're hunting or working on a farm.
Then you can leave a loose minor there?
Yes.
That's really strange.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, the story would always be we're hunting if we get pulled over.
Right.
In Portland for squirrel.
Well, you're on your way to go hunting.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. PBJ Matt.
Took a look at the minimum wage calendar. They are factoring tax rebates. Without the tax rebates, $9.25 an hour gets you $16.03 a month on average before taxes. You could probably take home around $1,300 to $1,400 depending on how you configure your W-2. Much, much lower than the $20.79 they are stating on the website.
This is the could you live on minimum wage in Oregon game we played last
week. Also, interesting tidbit about the Subaru Brat. Seats were installed in the bed so the vehicle would no longer be classified as a truck under U.S. tariff designations and therefore avoid those tariffs.
Oh, yeah, and they make them stateside now, so that's kind of moot.
Yes, making
the tariffs.
Which
is why there's no longer a Subaru Brat.
Like, we don't need this anymore.
Exactly. It was a vehicle to avoid tariffs. Sebastian Poole, Mongolians are cool, but they don't use an English measurement system. USA, Liberia, and Myanmar are where such old schoolness still lives. So,
and speaking of bikes and feet, or feet and bike space, he sends us a little picture
on the Instagrams.
On the Instagrams, did you go there?
No.
Oh,
did you?
I did. Let me get there.
What does it say?
Oh, it's a little chart from Guatemala.
Yeah.
How many? Yes, 1.5 meters
of passing distance between a motor vehicle and a bicycle.
And a bicycle.
Yeah. Which ends up being like lots. It's like 5 feet, something like that?
No.
Or six?
A meter is less than 3.
But oh, okay.
1.5 meters is probably, I would say probably around 4, but still.
Yeah, it's a lot of space.
Still. I mean,
it's more than you get in California.
It's more than we get here.
Yeah.
We don't even have, did you know we don't even have like a minimum feet distance in Oregon?
No, it's more subjective than that. I was actually teaching one of my cadets today about,
I honestly thought 3 feet was like a law.
Yeah, but at speeds in Oregon greater than 35 miles an hour, you need to pass a bicyclist with enough room that if it fell into your lane of travel, you would not hit that person.
Right.
At speeds lower than 35, no such requirement, as far as I have interpreted the driver's manual.
Because at 34 miles per hour,
you're very safe.
You can fall into that vehicle and be
right.
safe.
You could be in a refrigerator avoiding an atomic blast and be fine. Tim Mooney, he says, don't buy, rent.
That's right.
You could use that money for better things. And I like the idea of that. So I got to do the math. Yeah.
He also said he learned a lot about LFO on this episode, and he's concerned about that for all of us.
Yeah, seriously. Those days are behind me, I swear.
I almost went on YouTube just like...
Resist the urge,
just
man.
Earlier today to check him out.
It can only hurt you.
I'm sure 90s pop
is not good for your head.
90s pop is not good for anybody.
Richard also doesn't want me to feel guilty about wanting a truck.
Yes.
But... You are that guy.
Be
that
prepared to be that guy.
With a truck.
So are you getting your truck like, you know, sometime in December?
I'm not going to tell anybody if I get one. I swear. I'm not telling anyone. It's going to be my little secret.
I do got to figure a way, because I'm not going to have my bed dismantled by Thanksgiving. I got to figure a way to move my bed.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could just throw it away and buy a new board.
No, because it's suspended. I built it like as a loft.
Oh, so it's more than just a board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
It's a board on a
It's a board
stilts.
On a string. Yeah. Oh, did you have a good summation of Mac Nurse David's?
Median is essentially the number at which half your sample set is above the value. And half your sample set is below the value. Mean is basically your average.
Ah, there we go.
Yes. And he gives us a really good explanation as to why that's important. I am not going to go that.
We're not
going to
get into it now.
Yes. But it does make an interesting point that if you use like average and you have like, say, like one or two, or you have like a lot of really low numbers, but like one or two exponentially higher numbers,
yeah,
that brings your average up. So if you're using like, say, something like income where there is a lot of separation between the lower and the higher numbers,
yes,
you have very few higher numbers, but that brings the average up. And you say like, oh, the average income of the city of Portland is X, but that doesn't really give you an idea of like how many people within of this income are on one side of that average and how many are on the other side.
Sure.
Median would tell you, here's the exact middle. And if you have a lot of people who are on the lower side, it is going to give you a lower number.
Right. You know? Sure. So like if you have, say, you have 100 chickens and they only lay one egg per day for 99 days. And then on the 100th day, all those 100 chickens all lay an egg. And then you get 100 eggs.
Right.
You could say you get an average, a mean average of 50 eggs a day, but that would not be statistically accurate because the median average of one egg a day is closer to the truth.
Or the median. I wouldn't use average within that.
Oh, language. The median. Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah. Your math is much faster than mine, but I think that's correct.
I spent some time thinking about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I gave that long soliloquy then.
But no, also just like what's the deal with like why would you have 100 chickens that don't lay eggs? Unless they were pets.
That's a lot of pets.
Right. And certainly not certainly not in Portland or Santa Cruz. So
no.
Hey, this has been a good show. We should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Oh, well, and Mac Nurse David is going to be here in just a couple of minutes to fix our computer.
Snap, yeah.
Which we should say thank you. We need to see if we can convince him to go on tape as he fixes the computer.
That would be fun.
Which I think he might. But in any respect, we got to say thank you, David, for fixing our computer and installing the RAM that Tim Mooney generously donated to us that we've been too afeard to attempt.
I too many steps. Too many things that I will lose.
Definitely.
I lose parts pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I have no problem taking things apart. It's putting them back together is usually where
Right.
things get a little sticky.
I'm not afraid of taking things apart. I'm afraid of parts.
There you go.
Hey, do you have the theme music over
there?
I do.
Let's do this.
I demand it. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herbert for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave News,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, thanks for the book, JP Cooley, PBJ Matt,
thanks for the comment, Patrick R. Chain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole, thanks for the comment,
Marco Lowe, Richard, Rich Otterstrom,
thanks for the comment,
Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, thanks for the light, Anna, Chris Iskukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson,
thanks for the tweet.
You beat me to it. Shelley and Troy.
King of Division, Josh Zissen and Richard G.
All right. Brush your teeth.
Go to bed.